Within your handouts there, you have a couple of different things. One is, I put this together last night. No, just kidding, I didn't. But there's, as of last week, we began a series on the Holy Spirit. And as you approach the idea of the Trinity and trying to understand the Trinity, there is so much that is there and so much confusion that has arisen over the years, false doctrines that have been taught, that it's important that we as a church have a clear understanding as far as where we're at, what we believe, what Orthodox, biblical Christianity stands on with reference to the doctrine of the Trinity. And this was put together by Rose Publishing, great amount of information that is here with reference to the Trinity. I encourage you to read it maybe later on today, unless you get bored in the midst of the sermon, and then just feel free to dig in. But Lord willing, that won't happen. So as you guys have this, it's just we're trying to give you as many resources as we can to bless you, to minister to you, to encourage you to think and to be able to give a defense as far as what it is that we stand for as Christians, what is the most critical doctrines that we have, and for us as believers, the doctrine of the Trinity is essential for us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and I think that this does a good job of laying those things out. So, also within your bulletins, you should have a green sheet that looks something like this, and it has a number of verses that are there with reference to what we'll be looking at this morning. And for the sake of time and expediency, we will be looking at this to help you, and also should prove to be a blessing to you later on as you continue to think and pray on these things. What a blessing. We don't have enough chairs in any one row. You know what? Somebody may have to sit up in the front. This is awesome. We will. Have the Logan family come right up to the front. Boys, your dad will find you. Come right on up here. All right. As we begin this morning, I want to emphasize that we are here this morning totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. As we look at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is, know that we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. For me, as the pastor of this church, I'm dependent upon Him. I could try to put together clever sermons, try to put together sermons that would capture people's attention or well thought out. But the fact of the matter is if the Holy Spirit isn't the one who is working through me and working within your hearts, it profits us nothing. For us as a church, we desire to have fervent worship where it's not lukewarm. It's not worship that is merely lip service to God, but where it's worshiping Him with all that is within us. And for that to happen, it's not based upon how well we move your emotions here, or whether the light is just perfect, or whether there's candles, or whether, you know, there's beautiful stained glass, or whatever it is. It's not dependent upon those things. It's dependent upon the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, revealing Himself to us, revealing Christ to us, the Father to us, in such a way that as His people, we can't help but praise Him. As a church, we want to be healthy. We want to be biblical. We want to be a church that knows doctrine, knows it's strong, knows who our God is and where our salvation comes from, A congregation that's rooted and grounded in God's Word. But that doesn't happen by a program. It happens by the Holy Spirit coming upon us, giving us a hunger for the things of God, teaching us as we go through His Word, convincing us of these truths in Scripture. We want to be a church that's having an impact on this community. Not just another church on a corner, but a church that has an impact on Saddleback Valley, on Orange County. That doesn't happen apart from the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. It's not how well we do and the things that we do. It's God working in us. We are a people that are totally dependent upon God, totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit in whom we're talking about. I pray that we would have an impact as far as evangelism occurring through our church, that we wouldn't be just those that are so strong doctrinally that know God's Word, but that we're going and proclaiming the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world, beginning here. I pray that there would be people that come into our congregation that don't know Him and that hear with clarity the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation through the work of Christ alone on the cross, and that the response would be faith, genuine, real faith. And it doesn't happen by creating the right atmosphere where everybody feels comfortable. It doesn't happen by the right illustrations. I pray to God it doesn't happen by how eloquent I am as a speaker. I know it doesn't. It happens because the Holy Spirit works upon somebody's heart and changes them. That's how it takes place. I pray that we would have a huge impact on the world as far as missions, Romania, Africa, wherever it is that God calls us to be, and that it would be impactful as far as the gospel going forward, people coming to salvation, but it is not dependent upon whether we do just the right thing. It's dependent upon the Holy Spirit working as the gospel is being proclaimed, as His Word is being preached, and the Holy Spirit changing people's hearts and bringing them to a place of salvation. We are a people totally dependent upon God. We are a people dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in whom we are talking about and studying over the next 7-week series on the Holy Spirit, we will find that we are a people totally and completely dependent upon Him. So it's a joy to study the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We look and we realize so quickly that He is the source of everything for us, all success. We started this church almost 3 years ago, and we have never advertised with the exception of a sign being out there for a couple hours on a Sunday. And yet God's built the church. The Holy Spirit has brought people to the church. And He's done it. We could go around this room. Every person that is here as a member of our church is here not by chance, but here as the Holy Spirit drew them to this particular place for the building up of us as a body and for your own edification. And that's great. We're thankful. We look, and as we study this morning, what we're going to look primarily at is the Holy Spirit being Him who gives life to us as believers, who gives life to those who were unbelievers, did not know Christ, didn't understand the things of God, and we were blind and we were dead, and He made us alive with Him. It's the Holy Spirit that did that. You are here this morning as a believer, for us who are believers, not because of chance, not because of luck, not because of our own good thinking, but solely as a result of God who has done it. So we're going to look at that this morning. My prayer this morning as we go through this particular study, and we're looking at a number of different verses, and I pray that you're able to keep up and follow and look at these things with us, and I pray that the result would be that we as a congregation close by saying, all glory and honor goes to him. With reference to our lives, with reference to our church, with reference to everything about us, all the glory, all the honor belongs to him. I'm going to begin by looking at a confession that was written primarily by John Knox in Scotland back in the 1500s. And it was written for the Scottish Church, given orders by the Scottish Parliament. And John Knox, great theologian, has written this with five other guys as far as this is what we believe specifically about our topic this morning. And we'll look at this and then go from here to Scripture and see, is this biblical? So here's what they said. This our faith, the assurance of the same, proceeds not from flesh and blood, that is to say, from no natural powers within us, but is the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, whom we confess God equal with the Father and with his Son, who sanctifies us and brings us in all verity by his own operation, without whom we should remain forever enemies to God and ignorant of his Son, Jesus Christ. For of nature we are so dead, so blind, so perverse, that neither can we feel when we are pricked, see the light when it shines, nor assent to the will of God when it is revealed, unless the Spirit of the Lord Jesus quickens that which is dead, remove the darkness from our minds, and bow our stubborn hearts to the obedience of his blessed will. And so, as we confess that God the Father created us when we were not, as his Son, our Lord Jesus, redeemed us when we were enemies to him, so also do we confess that the Holy Ghost does sanctify and regenerate us without all respect of any merit proceeding from us, be it before or after our regeneration, to speak this thing yet in more plain words, saying, as we willingly spoil ourselves of all honor and glory of our own creation and redemption, so do we also of our regeneration and sanctification. For of ourselves we are not sufficient to think one good thought, but he who has begun the good work in us is only he that continues us in the same, to the praise and the glory of his undeserved grace. There's a lot in there, but it is sweet to think about. What's that saying is that, in essence, is you were dead in your sins and your trespasses. Dead. Prior to being a believer, you were dead. Totally, completely dead in your sins and trespasses. Scripture makes that clear. You're blind to the things of God. Not wanting anything to do with them. And what took place was this supernatural act of the Holy Spirit drawing you unto himself. Saving you. God that did it. For us to understand God, we must understand God and to understand what he's done for us, we have to understand who we are. And so I began, as far as within this handout, to look at what is man's state? What is our circumstances as far as believers? What is our or as unbelievers, what is our predicament? Let's look at Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands, there's none who seeks after God. This is just a couple verses that describe who you were. There was none that were righteous. So make that be very clear. You're here today as a believer, but prior to that, you weren't righteous. Not even one of you was. I wasn't righteous. Not only that, but I didn't understand and I didn't seek after him. You hear people say, oh, that person, they're so close. They're so close to becoming a Christian. They're really seeking him. And our response biblically is, no, they're not, because Romans 3:11 says there's none that seeks after him. They may be wanting some of the things that look so attractive as far as life and meaning and wanting these kind of things, but they're not seeking after God. It's God that does. seeking. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Genesis 6:5 says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This is the doctrine of man's depravity. Who we're at. The inclination of our heart was only evil continually. You may look back and say, I did some good stuff prior to being a believer. I don't know that the inclination of my heart was only evil continually. But God says differently. You see, even our good deeds that we would do, the good thoughts that we would have, if it is not for God and for His glory, if it is not the result of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, the Bible tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing that's good within us. So it's important that you see that your heart was evil continually. It never stopped being evil. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are unbelievers, it is impossible, God tells us, for us to please Him, for us to do anything to merit any kind of reward at all on any basis. God says, you cannot please Him. Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." Colossians 1:21, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled." And then Ephesians 2:1, "And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." The Scriptures are there, it's clear. The state of man prior to regeneration, prior to salvation occurring, you're spiritually dead. And so for us this morning, what we're looking at is how do we get from a point of being spiritually dead with no righteousness of our own, only evil continually, not doing anything that would in any way merit salvation. How did we come from that point to a point of salvation, a child of God? And for you here this morning who maybe are not a believer, how do you get from your state in which God says you are dead in your sins and trespasses to a point of being alive in Him? Salvation, eternity in heaven versus eternity in hell. How does it occur? How does that transition take place? What occurs? Well, let's look. The next bold point is, who made the first move? How did you come from a point of being an unbeliever to being a believer? Who made the first move? 1 John 4:19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us." He was the initiator in the relationship. We love Him because He first loved us. We could probably go around the room and talk with believers and say, how did you come to salvation? And person after person after person, we would hear of God doing a work in their heart, of God creating circumstances such that they came to a point of crying out to God alone, putting them in a specific family or bringing them to a specific church, the gospel going forward, but it was the Holy Spirit who loved you, who drew you unto Himself. We love Him because He first loved us. Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Isaiah 65, verse 1, God says, "I was sought by those who did not ask for Me. I was found by those who did not seek Me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by My name." God is the initiator in this. It's God that initiated it. Romans 3:11, "There's none who understands, there's none who seeks after God," as we read a few minutes ago. In Luke 14, you see that there's this call as far as bringing these people to the supper. And an invitation that goes out, "Come, for the things are now ready." But it says, "But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses." As the invitation went out, every one of them, in one accord, began to make excuses. And so would we. Every one of us would say, no, I cannot go. I cannot follow him for this reason, for this reason. I don't want to go to follow God. I don't want to have to have a relationship with him. The Bible tells us that we love darkness rather than the light. The inclination of our heart is to go against him, away from him on a regular basis. And yet, it is God that initiated it. It's God that drew us to himself. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. I loved you from the very beginning with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, God says, I drew you. I drew you to myself. He was the initiator. And then in John 6:44, no one can come to me, Christ says, unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. We see here that Christ says, they would never come unless the Father drew them. Never. Never would you ever come into a relationship with God unless it was him that initiated it to you. As we go through this, these are the reasons why I say with our salvation, all the glory, all the honor goes to him. During the Reformation, you have the five solas where it's Scripture alone, salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, but all summarized in to the glory of God alone. When we think about our salvation, it's critical that we come to a place of looking at all that has occurred with Christ on the cross, the Holy Spirit drawing us, the Father electing us from the very beginning, and look at it in such a way as to say, I am convinced without any doubt that all the glory, all the honor, it all belongs to him. The only reason why I'll have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that doesn't fade away is because of him. He drew us. He saved us. It was his precious blood that was shed. It was him that did that when I would never seek after him, when I would never love him, when I would never go in a direction, even one step towards him. It was him that drew me. It was him that came to me. It's glorious. It makes us come to a place of just praising him and worshiping him because we see that our salvation is all of him. The Holy Spirit is him who did that work in our regeneration. I've picked some key verses here to teach us through this. John 6:63, it says this, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who gave you life. It's the Holy Spirit who changed you, who were dead in your sins and trespasses. It's the Holy Spirit who gave you life. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. Your natural inclination by your own choice is to go away from God. The message could go out, for whosoever wills, let him come. The message could go out, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But the natural man would say, I don't care. The natural man would say, I don't want that. The natural man would say, I'm going in a direction away from him. I hate the light. I love darkness. I'm going away from him. It is the Holy Spirit who must do a work upon our hearts to bring us to a point where we say, there's none in all the earth I desire besides thee. It's not entering into the kingdom kicking and screaming. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals to us the glorious gospel and our glorious God that makes us look and say, I will follow you. I love you. I believe as far as My sins were placed upon Christ on the cross, and his righteousness was placed upon me. He's hurled my sins into the depths of the sea. He remembers them no more. It's God that's done that. His blood was shed for me. It's the Holy Spirit that makes it so that we understand these things. We believe these things. The glory goes to him. So you look on to the next passage there. Titus 3:3. For we ourselves were also once foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And I always love when there's a transition as you look at verses like this. We're foolish, disobedient. Say for most people here, they look and say, that was me. When I look at my life prior to Christ, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. I was listening to Jonathan Keane give his testimony at the men's fellowship. That is a tough guy right there. All-American wrestler. Was part of that Ultimate Fight Club thing. Like, it's not that. There's another name. I'm messing it up. But basically, he would beat the living daylights out of people for a sport and for fun. But he had told us that prior to Christ, like, he just was a hateful person. Like, he'd want to beat people up just because they dressed weird or whatever it was. But he talked about this change that occurred in his life. See the transition here. How did that happen? How did it happen for you? How did it happen for me? Well, it says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You talk to Jonathan today and just this gentle, loving, nice guy, wonderful husband, right, Michelle? As far as the first couple months of marriage, he's doing good. I get reports every week. But how does that change occur? It's the Holy Spirit. Why are you here today? It's him. He did it. It's through the washing of regeneration. Regeneration making you new. The renewing of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:30, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Notice that nowhere in here does it say in some of. It's very clear whom he predestined from the very beginning. Before the foundations of the world, God tells us those he called. The Holy Spirit called you. The Holy Spirit did that work within your heart, and those that he called, he also justified. Made it as if you had no sin whatsoever in your life. Changed you. Made you a new creation in him. It's God that did that. And he also will be him who glorifies you. Look at 2 Timothy 1:9. Referring to God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Do you remember when you became a Christian? For some of you, it may be a very specific moment. You remember it. For others that are like me, I can't pinpoint an exact time as far as when I became a believer. I was brought up in a Christian home. I watched the lives of the people that were believers, my parents, family members, people within our church. It was just so evident that the gospel was true. I can't pinpoint a specific date. I pray that there will be so many kids within our children's ministry that I won't be able to pinpoint a specific date. But they just grew up in the faith. They know these things. They know it's true. It's evident in their parents. It's evident amongst us as believers. But for some of you could think, man, I remember. I was at church, sitting there. I heard this or whatever it was. I was at home or I was in my car. Wherever it was that you were, and God just, a calling took place. Holy Spirit doing a work in your heart. He saved us and he called us with a holy calling. It was the Holy Spirit who did that. It wasn't because of your works. It wasn't because you finally got your life together and now he could work in you. It tells us, no, it wasn't because of our works. It was according to his own purpose. It was according to his own purpose. It was according to his grace, which was given to you, each one of you, before time began. There are so many verses here on this handout, and I had to limit it so it all fit on one page front and back. But we're just looking at a few of them. And honestly, we could just look at this one and it's enough. It's sufficient. But I want you to see that it's thematic all through Scripture where you look and you say, he did it. The glory goes to him. It was done not because of anything inside of me, not because of any of my own works, but it was given to me according to his purpose. It was given to me before time began. Before the foundations of the earth, before it was ever created, he loved you. He chose you. We see that this is reiterated over and over again. If you don't believe this, please let Scripture be your authority on these things. It makes it so clear. It cannot be more clear. Before time began, it was given to you. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. A genuine call that goes forward through the gospel. As the Holy Spirit inspired these words in Scripture, but the gospel message of salvation through Christ alone, by faith alone, by grace alone, to the glory of God alone, the work on the cross, it was sufficient. Gospel message, whoever believes in him has life and that abundantly. Gospel message going forward, and we look and we hear it, and the Holy Spirit uses that gospel message, a genuine call that goes out to us, and we believe upon him. And our response is, it was all you. You did it. You determined these things before time began. You completed it on the cross. You made me alive who was dead in my sins and trespasses. It was you, God. You did it all. It doesn't get any better than this. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We see a genuine call that goes out. Whosoever wills, let him come. Here is the gospel message. Believe upon it. If you're an unbeliever here this morning, I would say, believe upon the gospel. Look to Christ. Look to the cross. Trust in the work of Christ alone on the cross for you, for your sins, for your redemption. But then we look and we say, at that point, you're born again. But it didn't happen as far as being a part of the right family. It didn't happen because the will within your own flesh, your own ability to muster up faith, to muster up enough. It wasn't done by the will of man. It wasn't us willing it upon you and these things happened, but it happened, it tells us, of God. It was God that did it. The glory goes to him. The glory does not go to a clever preacher, a brilliant evangelist. It goes to God. It wasn't by blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man. It was God that did it. It's glorious. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Is this God-centered or man-centered? It's God-centered, of course. God's saying, I'll do it. I'll do it. You have this rock-hard heart, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to remove it, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, and you're going to follow me. I'm going to make you a new creation in me, and you're going to follow me. How does that occur? It is the Holy Spirit who does that. It's the Holy Spirit who changes you, makes you a new creation. It's Him that does that. In John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and saying, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. How did you become born again? It was the Holy Spirit. The glory goes to Him. It blows where it wishes. It blew upon you according to undeserved grace. The Holy Spirit came upon you, made you who are blind able to see, made you who were dead alive, made it so there was nothing that you desired in all the earth but to follow Him. It was God that did that. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Holy Spirit works through the word of God. He has given us the word of God. The preaching of the word of God is essential. It is the Holy Spirit that works through the preaching of God's word. Always through the preaching of God's word. Gospel goes forward. But it's from the truths that are given to us in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's God that commanded that light to shine out of darkness and to shine specifically upon your heart. Do you remember when it happened? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ to you. Glorious, amazing, He did it. And so we see our salvation is God gets all the glory for it. We get all the blessing, He gets all the glory. Let's finish with these two passages here. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we're bound to give thanks to God always for you. Brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He did it. The Holy Spirit is Him who set you apart. Through belief in the truth, belief in the gospel, the Holy Spirit is Him who did this. Father, choosing you from the very beginning. God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation. Through the Holy Spirit who is going to work inside you. Through belief in the truth, belief in the gospel, there must be a genuine profession of faith, belief, a genuine belief in Him. But done for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was done for Him to be glorified. Imagine a billion years from now in heaven. What's going to be occurring? You're going to be there and you're going to be saying, praise and glory and honor. It belongs to you. You are the Lamb that was slain. Salvation is of the Lord. It belongs to you. You did these things. In heaven, all the glory, all the honor goes to Him. And here in the sanctuary this morning, all the glory and all the honor, it belongs to him. Ephesians 2:1, let's close with this. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also you once conducted yourselves in lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And here we see that transition again. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so we close this morning by saying, the glory goes to him. For you as a believer, there is no boasting that takes place this morning. For me, there is no boasting that I could even muster up, because the fact of the matter is, it's all by grace. It's all of him. It's all because of God. It is all his gift. It's all what he has done. My faith, my belief is the result of the Holy Spirit doing that work upon me, the gift given to me. It's the gift of God. I can never boast in it. You can never boast in it. But we could praise him. And we could give thanks. And we can look and have great thoughts about God and be a congregation that depends upon him. What is it that's amazing about this? Is that our salvation is all of God. A gigantic view of God, who he is, what he's done. I'm thankful that it's God that does this work, the Holy Spirit who changes people, because it makes prayer for the lost effective. If you didn't believe these things, why would you ever pray for God to save your children or their family members? You pray these things because you know it is the Holy Spirit who changes people, just as he did with us, and he makes us alive. As we study the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, I told you before, it is going to make you love him. It's going to make you praise him. It's going to make you have such gigantic, great views of God that you sit or stand empty-handed, praising him with all that is within you, because you are here and you are washed and you are clean and you are a child of God and your sin has been removed and righteousness has been imputed unto you, and all these things have occurred because of him. And for that reason, we could praise him both now and forevermore. You pray with me? Lord God, we look upon such wonderful doctrine, teaching, scripture, so many verses that are here. They're so alive to us because of your Holy Spirit revealing these things to us. We're here because of you. I praise you for it. I pray for anybody that's in our congregation right now that does not know you. I pray that on this morning that they would receive salvation as your Holy Spirit comes upon them, as they see that they are not here by chance, but they are here as a result of you. Grant them faith. Cause them to see you. Make their eyes open, just as you have done that with us, that they may leave this place giving all the praise and all the glory and all the honor to you. Pray, God, that you would save souls here and in our community and the uttermost parts of the world. As the gospel message goes forward, and I pray that as believers here, we would be those that return giving thanks. All glory and all honor, it all belongs to you. May that be the fruit of our lips. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.